Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight! Every color of day, twirling around at night.
There goes the Daverhood, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the 231st episode of Dave's Gone By here at WGBB. Brought to you as it is, and we're going to get the sponsors out of the way quickly. We've got so much to do tonight. Got to put on the microphone of my guest host, but hold on. Let me do the sponsors.
But we don't want to do it quickly. We love our sponsors.
You're right. But I haven't even introduced myself yet. How am I going to introduce
Guess
you
what?
And then the sponsors?
You're Dave Lefkowitz.
That's right.
And you know who I am?
You are Jeffrey. Do you like Jeff or Jeffrey tonight? Which would you
Either
rather
way.
Be? Jeff. You're Jeff.
I'm
Jeff
bisexual.
Yeah.
I'm by Jeff Buell.
By Jeff Buell. You're Metro Jeff Buell, actually, even so. And you're one of our sponsors in a certain kind of a way.
In a weird way, because no one ever calls.
Well, what would they call if they were calling?
They would call my phone number, which would be 516-797-3229.
Why would they call that number?
I have no idea.
Oh, we're in rare form tonight. But in case, for some reason, let's say somebody got a wrong number and reached 516-797-3229.
I would say, do you want some balloons or party decor?
Party decor. Describe that, Jeff.
Oh, it's all sorts of really fun stuff. All those big things that you see, the theme pieces you see at bar mitzvahs?
Uh-huh.
Guess who makes them?
You.
Me. And
theme
my
pieces.
Staff of thousands.
And centerpieces and balloon archways. It's kind of hard to
oh, yeah.
describe.
Well, any kind of balloon things. We do things with balloons you just can't believe would be done with balloons.
I'm
amazing with latex.
Don't even want to know. But
oh, Dave, you know. You've seen the pictures.
Yes, and if you want to see the pictures of what Jeff does with fancy schmancy balloons and what he can do for your party event, 797-3229, area code 516.
And we could actually organize the entire event for you, here or around the country, just
That's
like
right.
I've been doing.
So you don't do, like, DJ work or flowers, but you can hook people up with...
I hook them up with everything.
There
you have no idea.
And thank God, and thank everyone, that we are also hooked up with some other wonderful sponsors on this show, including MortgagesRock.com.
Gotta love them.
Why do we love them, Jeff?
Because not only will they help you get a mortgage, they'll help you make money.
Well, yeah.
Well, by helping your friends get mortgages
That's
and
right.
your relatives. And you can go on the site and you can learn how to be your own kind of mortgage broker. It's amazing. I told you, I did it myself, and it was really, really interesting. And if you like the site and you still have questions, they have a lovely person on the phone who will, you can actually talk to human beings, which is rare for a website.
They have human beings. There's an office on the South Shore. I mean, it's actual real people, not just some vague website coming out of, you know, outer space somewhere.
And it's real. You could really make money.
Yeah, at MortgagesRock.com. Now, you can save money at two of our other sponsors.
Yes, of course. Well, of course, the Copy Kings of Broadway,
which
Hewlett-Minuteman Press.
Hewlett-Minuteman Press.
I mean, and I'm very excited because of the brand new color copier.
Yes, that's right. I mean, they had a color copier for a long time, but they have a brand new one.
That's what
it is.
It's a new one.
Yeah.
It's not only better, the colors are crisper. And the paper, they improved the paper.
They improved it.
They did.
That's good.
They now make it from fake trees.
Oh, good. It's more green. It's more
That's right.
environmental. Well, I can't vouch for that part, but I do know they have a good new color copier, and that everybody who walks
Not
in there...
good, excellent color copier.
Excellent color copier. And everyone who walks in there saying that they listen to Dave's Gone By...
will be slapped.
With a 10% discount. That's right. Dave's Gone By...
You'll be slapped with a 10%
discount.
Whether you want it or not, they're just not going to charge you that much.
Yeah. And
if you use the color copier?
It's still 10% off.
I will say 15.
They're not going to give you 15. Well, maybe if you beg. But
you just tell them Jeff said to give you 15% off those color copies.
And we'll see what happens.
And they'll go, Jeff who?
Exactly. And speaking again of saving some money. Now, normally I get on here and tell you that if you want to subscribe to the Bible of Broadway, Performing Arts Insider, which has been around for decades.
Really? I never heard of it.
Yes, you have. You're a subscriber, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Because it's so helpful to you. It tells you everything that's going on the stages of New York. And for a long, long time, you could get 10% off a subscription if you were a Dave's Gone By listener.
But how come I don't get that? I got an extra hot from Taco Bell, but I didn't get that.
Oh, sure. Give us someone that doesn't sponsor us some ad plug. I'm going to turn off your mic for the rest of this, just as punishment. And your mic is off until... Nope. That's your punishment. Your mic is off for 20 minutes. But I want to just tell everybody, you're on timeout, Jeff. It's performingartsinsider.com is the place to find out how you can get more than 10, even more than 15% off subscriptions to... They can barely... Jeff is screaming in the background, and as well he should be, because I'm going to whack him a few times. But anyway, this gives us a good opportunity to move forward and get to our amazing and wonderful guest for this evening. It's actually two guests, because I won't be conducting the interview. Now, those of you who watch a lot of TV, you'll have seen a show called Picket Fences. Remember that one with Tom Skerritt and all these weird things? Your microphone is still off, Jeff. Your microphone is going to be off. You're being punished. You are a naughty, naughty Jeff. Anyway, Picket Fences, and then you might remember Boston Public on Fox TV about all those teachers. So, one of the stars of that show has had a career going back decades and decades. He started in a Yiddish theater and remembers all the great Yiddish performers, then really, you know, did the Catskills thing and was more found, I should say. He did the original off-Broadway production of Little Shop of Horrors, and then went on to do Cafe Crown on Broadway, and finally rediscovered in his 60s for television when, when Boston Public came around and Picket Fences. He's the great Five-ish Finkel, and he also did that off-Broadway show, Finkel's Follies. He has so many memories, and he's in his mid-80s now, and still has such vigor, such brio, and such joy in what he does, that it's going to be a joy to talk to him. I only wish that I were the one interviewing him, but Rabbi Saul Solomon, who has been a frequent guest on this program, one of my favorite guests here, begged me. He spent just weeks saying, oh, if you're going to have Five-ish on, because he had interviewed Mike Burstyn at one point from the Yiddish Theater. He's very connected to it. So I said, all right, Rabbi, you can conduct the interview. And so he shall. Rabbi Saul Solomon talking to Five-ish Finkel in just a couple of minutes. Plus, upcoming on this episode of Dave's Gone By, we've got Inside Broadway with a lot of Broadway news and the news gone by. We've brought that back. It's been, a few weeks now since we've taken a look at the news from a really weird and goopy perspective. So much to do, and get to it right after these messages on Dave's Gone By. Well, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, rockin' my mortgage in the bosom of Abraham, mortgagesrock.com. God has a plan for you, giving your friends and family mortgage loans. Learn how at mortgagesrock.com. Fully licensed in New York State and in heaven. They'll teach you the ropes so you can climb Jacob's ladder to high, high, high commissions. Rockin' my mortgage, mortgagesrock.com. Rockin' my mortgage, mortgagesrock.com. Rockin' my mortgage, mortgagesrock.com. Everybody point and click. Ow, 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 I slipped a disc. That is, I slipped a disc into my CD player, and it's a Dave's Gone By CD. That's right, we have literally a couple of hundred Dave's Gone By episodes on compact disc for you to purchase and listen to anytime you want. They make a great gift, they're fun, they're funny, well, at least I think so. Find out more at my website, davesgoneby.org, and start listening to Dave and slipping your discs.
Without a trumpet, therefore you can't have a band without a trumpet. You'll find a Frenchman can say au revoir, but a show's not a show without a star. Now would you eat your soup without a spoon? go to a concert just to hear the bassoon. There ain't a comic without a big cigar, and a show's not a show without a star. The orchestra, it plays its part. The scenery, sometimes it's art. The costumes, the makeup, you might sell out. But without a star, the people will walk out. Now every puppet needs its own Geppetto, and every score must have its own libretto. And Mr. Hershey can't live without his chocolate bar, because a show's not a show without a star. That's me! A show's not a show without a star.
I must say, this is Fivish Finkel. I want you all to really enjoy a wonderful program done by a fine artist, and it's called David Gone By. And you're going to love it as well as I love it, and as well as all his listeners love it. Be well, everybody, and we should all meet on happy occasions. And if you want to do that, listen to David Gone By.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful time we are going to have now, because I've got a special and terrific and almost sacred guest on the Dave's Gone By program. We are so happy to have in the neighborhood with us a legend of the Yiddish theater and also someone beloved from television and from nightclubs, Mr. Fivish Finkel. Fivish, how are you? God bless you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction.
Oh, you are so welcome, and it is so deserved. How are you? Well, you're in your 80-somethings, right? So how are you feeling? How are
life
you?
Life begins at 80.
It sure does. Oh, and you're feeling good? Everything's in working order?
Thank God.
Oh, thank God. So what have you been up to the past couple of years?
Oh, doing odds and ends, you know, benefits here and there.
Good, good.
You know, I got to keep occupied. Like a fighter goes to the gym.
Yes.
And he wants to be in trim all the time, so I do that.
And what would you say is it that keeps you going after all these years?
Oh, the public keeps me going.
The public, because it's the love. I mean, are you stopped on the street all the time because you're on television and people remember you?
Yes, thank God.
And are you nice about it? Do you sign autographs? Do you wave?
I'm delighted.
Oh, that's so good. So let's roll it back. Let's go back to the beginnings and your years in the Yiddish theater. How did you get into that? And was your family?
I was in the Yiddish theater since I was 9 years old.
Yes.
Till I was 43.
Oh.
That's quite a stretch.
Well,
I only had 2 years off because my voice was changing.
So
I had to wait till I get my mature voice.
So when you were, your voice was cracking and you were playing the little boy.
Well, I mean, I was a teenager, so I had to wait to get a second voice.
Do you remember your first role as a grown-up in the Yiddish theater?
Sure I do.
What was it?
It was in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
I played a comedic character there in a Yiddish theater in Pittsburgh.
And do you remember the show? Do you remember the character?
The show, that was 1940.
Well, all right. There were a lot of things to remember about that time. So
yeah.
Did you have to go into the army after that? Were you part of the whole the World War II thing?
Well, I was rejected.
Oh, flat feet?
Flat feet, and I had two other brothers besides me, and they were, in the armed forces.
But I don't understand, why were you actually, why did they say, oh, no?
Because of my feet.
Really? Oh, I was joking.
I couldn't march.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, back...
Everything was fine till they looked at my feet and they turned me down.
Well, thank God. And you're still with us after all these
years.
Well,
look, that's what it is.
And I have a very sad question to ask, but I have to ask this because I'm always curious of people who were around then, and especially since you were in, almost in the military, and you had brothers who were in the military. When did you really realize what was going on with the Jews in Germany? Was it in 1940?
I realized that around the late 30s. I had a feeling something was wrong, and then it came out.
But did you know how awful it was by 45 or like 3 years earlier?
Sure I did.
Everybody knew. So
everybody knew.
And so it wasn't even a shock when they realized that it was millions rather than a few thousand. Or was it?
I beg your pardon?
It didn't come as a shock to you when...
It's still a shock, even till today.
Hmm. Did you lose family?
I lost my father's side and my mother's side, complete losses.
Gewalt. And then after the war, though, that was, I assume, when the Yiddish theater was pretty much petering out.
Oh, no.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, the year 1944 till about 1948, 49, they did very well.
Oh, that's wonderful.
People were seeking entertainment.
And there was still enough of an audience around that spoke the Yiddish.
Oh, certainly there was, even in the 50s. We had the two theaters, three theaters on 2nd Avenue. We had the Anderson Theater, which was once the public theater.
Right.
The 2nd Avenue Theater, and for vaudeville, the National Theater. And when you went to Clinton Street, the Clinton Theater's four.
So do you remember?
That went on till the 60s, the early 60s.
Did you ever act with people like Paul Muni and Frederick Wiseman? Did you know these people?
I never met him, no.
Oh, okay.
I never met him. I met, Skolnick and Molly Picon and Marie Schwartz.
Oh,
Goldberg, I could give you a big list.
Well,
Paul Muni, when I came into the field, he was already in the American theater.
True. Very true.
He was doing pictures already in the 30s.
Do you have any wonderful memories or stories or anecdotes about meeting Molly Picon or working with Manasseh?
Oh, yeah, they were great artists.
So tell.
They were great artists. As a matter of fact, they had a load of class about them.
Hmm.
And Schwartz was a first-class actor. He was the greatest Tevye of them all.
What made him such a wonderful Tevye in Fiddler on the Roof?
Because he was born to do it.
Well, so were you in a certain... You did Tevye for 4 years.
I did it, but I did it in English. I'm talking...
Oh.
When you see, when you buy the picture of Tevye with Marie Schwartz, you see how great he was.
Hmm. And what would you say that you learned from watching or working with Menashe Skolnick? Because
never appeared with him.
Oh.
If I did, it must have been a vaudeville where he did his act, and I introduced him, and that was the end of it. I was the master of ceremonies.
Because we have a copy of your compact disc, and on there you actually do the song that he was famous for.
Oh, yeah.
Not on the top.
Oh, you got to the CD.
Yes, it's delightful.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Nice to hear you say that.
Well, thank you.
My sons, Ian and Elliot, put in a lot of work in that record.
It's a very, very fun record, and you sound so alive. It was only recorded, 2 years ago?
I recorded it when I was 80.
Oh, a spring chicken.
A spring chicken is right.
A young person. So what was it like working in the Catskills when you were doing all that?
Oh, my God. I worked in the Catskills from 1938 on.
Wow. What was that like from those early years?
The Catskills, when I started. What's that click doing there?
I don't hear anything. Sorry. Just keep going. It's wonderful.
The Catskills had over 400 hotels when I was with it.
Wow.
And I didn't count the bungalow colonies either, the Cochalanes.
Right. Of course.
You know, and my God, I had a contract always to do 50 of them in the late 40s, the early 50s. And I didn't even scratch the surface. There were so many.
And then
when I went on tour with Fiddler on the Roof, I came back in 1970. They still had about 20 or 30 of them. And then it petered out. Now I don't know what you have.
Now it's a couple of...
Maybe you have one or two left or something.
But not the same.
It's not the same. No, it's not the same.
Now... You had so many different aspects to your career, and in a sense, they're comebacks, because first you were doing the Yiddish theater, then you were doing the nightclubs, and then, boom, television. How did that happen?
The television I got by a miracle.
What was the miracle?
The miracle was when they were looking to cast picket fences. Yes. It looks high and low for someone to do that lawyer, Douglas Wambo.
Right.
And they weren't too happy with it. So David Kelly, God bless him, went to his house and had us some friends, and he rented a movie called Q&A, which I did for Cindy Lumet.
That was Timothy Hutton in that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and okay. I play a lawyer there. And when they saw me, they started laughing, and he said, there he is.
Oh, my goodness.
They called 20th Century Fox immediately.
Yeah.
And they knew my agent, and the deal was made in 1 hour.
That's amazing.
I was 70 when I got that.
And then since then, you did, of course, Picket Fences, then you did a Fantasy Island.
Oh, yeah, since Picket Fences, I did a revival of Fantasy Island, and then I did Boston Public for a while.
That's such a wonderful, like, as they say, a third act to the career, and now you're doing a fourth act. It's probably going to be a 12th act when you're 113.
Kanahara, I wish you were a real rabbi, I'd be blessed.
I'm real enough for these purposes, let me tell you. But let me ask you, all the years since you started in the Yiddish theater, did you ever do other work? Did you ever have to take a quote-unquote normal?
Really, I did. I had to make a living.
So you what?
I did weddings, bar mitzvahs. I performed in those days. Every affair had a comedian or a singer, things like that.
Oh, but did you ever work outside the realm of entertainment?
Oh, no.
Oh, you lucky man, you.
No.
And you've got a wonderful family. You have the sons. Are you married? And or how's that?
This past March, we married 60 years.
Oh, what Kanahara. Kanahara and all that kind of thing.
That in Hollywood, that's a big record.
It's a wonderful thing. Now, before we go, I have a smattering of Hebrew and I sort of speak English, okay. But I was wondering if you could just teach me a little something of Yiddish.
You want to hear something in Yiddish?
I would love it.
Was kanachar zugn of Yiddish.
Oh, so beautiful. Tell me more.
Was kann man sagen, probiert alles aus seinem besten Ordnung.
And what do you
say? Man darf spielen die Rolle, als er geht, als die ganze Kritik soll nur sein, wie man sagt, soll nur sein geht, und ehrlich, und schön, und fein.
Ehrlich und sing and fine. Sounds like a law firm. Singen.
Man darf können singen, man darf um die Stimme, die Kehle darf man um.
So what are you saying? Unfortunately, I do not understand. What have you been...
In voice, you got to have the voice, the Kehle.
Oh.
And singing.
Well, you have the voice and the spirit and the personality. Oh, it is so wonderful to talk to you and to hear you. And upcoming, where can people see you and where
well,
are you entertaining?
Now we're doing mostly freelancing. But they're working on it. My agents and my sons, Ian and Elliot, we're working on it.
Well,
to do a project.
I only wish you so much further success after all the success you've had.
The same to you.
Oh, and it's
been... Oh, it was a joy.
A double and triple joy for me. Five-ish Finkel, bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Let me tell you about my Uncle Menashe. This is his story. Last week on 2nd Avenue, right before my eyes, a giant of a man shoved a lady half his size. A voice yelled, cut it out. Then I noticed it was me. What do you mean you push a lady? You must treat her tenderly. If you wanna fight with me, you let's. He was even stronger than he looked, and he gave me a zest. You know where?
Where?
Not on the top, not on the bottom, but just in the middle. The lady helped me up and brushed me off with care. She said, who asked you? And she clapped me, you know where? Not on the top, not on the bottom, but just in the middle, and that's all. Lady told me more. It's a long story, you know. I started doing exercise. The doctor says I should. Nothing fancy, only walking to keep me feeling good. I thought it would be easy, but now I am upset. Because the more I exercise, the hungrier I get. My body's in good shape, I must admit. But in one peculiar place, my clothes no longer fit. You know where?
Where?
Not on the top, not on the bottom, but just in the middle. My pulse and my blood pressure both are doing fine, except I feel there's two of me whenever I recline. Everybody, not on the top, not on the bottom, but just in the middle, and that's all. Boy, this is longer than War and Peace. Jake was in the hospital to have an operation. I went to pay him a visit, 'cause I know it's no vacation. He wasn't in his room, I lay down and slept right in his bed. Jake ran off with a nurse, so it's me they took instead. With surgeons, operating is an art. One doctor said to another, where would you like to start? You know where?
Where?
Not on the top, not on the bottom, but just in the middle. They kept me in the hospital from Shreya's busy Yom Kippur. I sued them for malpractice, 'cause they sold on me a zipper. Not on the top, not on the bottom, but just in the middle, and that's all.
Sponsor me, Dave's gone by. Run your ad, folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me.
Wake up the global good! Get it, take you to the lawyer to tell everybody! News, news!
On the news of the world!
My radio's on, the news is all bad, but it's good to relax.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this Sunday night, July 22nd. Now, that's what? That's Jeff swallowing some water before we move into the news gone by. Am I correct?
How was the underwater edition?
The underwater edition, well, part of New York was underwater. We're going to talk about that. Well, under steam, as it were.
You know why? They got
steam heat.
They got...
I knew I should have played that, steam heat. But wait. Let's get to it in a second. It's time for the news gone by, because we're talking about the news, looking at local...
We haven't
and,
done this in a while, Dave.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Local and world events from a five-ish and a live-ish perspective. Well, wild day on the Upper East Side of Manhattan this past Wednesday when a Con Edison steam pipe burst and caused the transformer to explode. Enormous showers of mud and steam and ash and possibly asbestos were spewed over a quarter-mile radius. One woman died of a heart attack. 30 other people were injured. Commuters rang out of office buildings during
and
another 9/11.
And a tow truck sunk to the bottom of the hole.
Yeah, exactly. That was an amazing shot. But Mayor Bloomberg immediately blamed cold water in the pipes, not terrorism, for the blast. And former New Jersey Governor Christy Todd Whitman said after the incident that the air quality was perfectly fine, no risk at all, unless you're part of a small minority of people who breathe using their mouths, noses, and lungs, then you're screwed. Thank you. Indigestion was the story a week ago when over 100 people became ill at the Taste of Chicago Food Festival. It's a popular annual event, and the outdoor festival has dozens of restaurants participating, including Pars Cove Persian Cuisine. And they're believed responsible for the 10 cases of salmonella poisoning who had to be hospitalized after the fair.
You don't think it was the Tomein Palace?
I've eaten there several times. No, but I just, you know, go figure that the food at a street fair isn't clean. I mean, well, wonders never cease. I mean, have you ever been to one of these fairs in New York, San Gennaro, or these days San Guadalupe Abdul. There's smoke everywhere, giant slabs of meat exposed to pretty much anything a piece of beef can be exposed to in New York. Chickens that are cooked just long enough for the rooster to give up trying. And they should have a big old bucket at both ends of the fair with a sign, insert diarrhea here. Problem is, in a street fair, some immigrant would put a sign over it saying...
That sounds tasty, Dave.
Will you let me finish the joke, please?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Problem is, in a street fair, some immigrant would put a sign over it saying chocolate mousse and sell it for $3 a cup. Now comment. Nice, nice. I could use that later. There's a moment when I might need that sound effect.
Okay.
In political news... good one! President Bush... signed an executive order this week banning torture by the CIA.
Although,
Yay! No, no, I wanted another there, like a tortured noise. Okay.
No, that'd be...
Although what can and cannot be done is still actually a secret. Sources say the torture ban will ensure that no detainee will ever again have to endure sexual abuse, simulated drowning, and any situation comedy on WB11. Also in political news.
Why, you don't like the Reba McEntire show?
Does anybody like the Reba McEntire show? Now, for 3 hours yesterday, do you know who was president of the United States?
Were you?
No, it was Dick Cheney. He was commander-in-chief of the United States of America. That's because President Bush...
Oh, he had a couple of polyps removed.
He was undergoing a routine colonoscopy. Now, as a man in my 40s, I sympathize with George Bush as he copes with his inflamed and irritated asshole. But then again, Cheney was his choice. Yes! Yes, ladies and gentlemen. That is the sound of the legendary comic. It's a very... Why isn't it ringing properly? That's better.
It's you've been improperly belled.
The legendary comedy bell that is now sounding much, much better. Because it signals that Dave's gone by bad pun of the week. Whenever we do the news gone by, we make a pun so cheeky, so butt ugly, that we say, rectum, we nearly killed him, and ring the comedy bell. Now, the comedy bell is the reminder that Dave's Gone By is the only place to hear the news gone by inside Broadway. Dave goes off, and great guests like...
Not to mention...
like Fivish Finkel and Jill Sobule and Reckless Eric and Julie Wilson and Neil Sedaka. Doesn't that kind of star quality deserve your kind of advertising? Since 2002, Dave's Gone By has aired on WGBB, bringing Long Island laughter, music, interviews, an hour of unique entertainment every Sunday night. We're on the internet, so the program is heard all over the world, and each episode is put on CD with many shows archived on the web, so your ad isn't heard just once. It becomes part of the ongoing history and legacy of the program.
And pretty soon they're going to shoot Dave out into space. So you'll be heard by galaxies far, far away.
My luck, I'll just bash into the XM satellite or something.
Ow.
No, do the... I still like the other voice.
Ugh.
How can you get involved? You can purchase a 30 or a 60-second ad, sponsor different segments. We tailor our marketing to meet your needs at prices you can afford.
Or simply just give us cash and we'll just talk about your business.
Enough cash and we'll just run out of here and the hell with the radio show. But we will record your ad or help you record your own. It's cheaper than direct mail, more targeted than penny savers. Advertising on Dave's Gone By is cost effective and just plain effective. So bring your message to my listeners. Find out how at davesgoneby.org or email davesgoneby@aol.com for ad rates and all the information you need.
We'll send $50 cash to WGBB.
No, that doesn't help us at all.
Well, just if you put it in an envelope and mark it Dave's Gone By, we probably won't get it anyway.
Now, if I happen to be there that day, I might have a shot. Otherwise, there's no way in hell.
That would only be when we get mail on Sundays, Dave.
But if you send me an email, I will get... pardon me, I will get...
Can I put
Dave's
the cash
Gone
in
By.
The email?
That doesn't really help anybody. Dave's Gone By at AOL.com. D-A-V as in Victor. E-S. Gone By at AOL.com. Now, next week, at this time, you could be hearing your own ad. Possibly during the news gone by, or even right after the Dave's Gone By... bad pun of the week. Don't be good, be punderful. Shall we return to the news gone by, Jeff Goodman?
Oh my God, anything but puns.
From the literary world this week came the seventh and final installment of the amazing...
Oh, who died? Who died?
I don't know. I have
Did
no
I
idea.
Die?
I didn't read it.
If anyone read the book...
No.
I wanted to call it and spoil the ending for us.
Fans camped out overnight, over waiting for the release of the grand finale, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. Now, this is the one where Harry the Wizard has a mega showdown with evil Lord Voldemort. I have not seen the book, I haven't read the spoiler, and I will not spoil it for you. Wouldn't do it even if I read it. But
I would.
You know who did spoil it?
Not the New York Times.
The French.
The French spoil everything.
The day before the book's release, Les Parisiens, the French newspaper, printed a three-paragraph summary of the novel's epilogue. Now, they I swear to God, they printed it upside down, so you kind of either had to want to read it that way, or if you were standing on the metro, I guess you could read it pretty easily. And, of course, by the time Deathly Hallows was released in other parts of the world, Wikipedia already had a full synopsis up. So, not to be left out, in lieu of telling you how the Harry Potter series ends, I'm going to tell you how it definitely does not end. In the last chapter of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Harry does not wake up on Christmas morning and buy the biggest goose he can for Bob Cratchit. In the epilogue, Lord Voldemort does not say Rosebud and drop a snow globe with a sled in it.
Do they find out it's all a dream?
No, they don't do that either. Well, actually, they might.
Then does Bob Newhart wake up in bed with his old wife?
That's in Lemony Snicket. At the end of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Hermione does not become a world-famous stripper, nor does Malfoy have his brother killed on a fishing trip, nor does Cho Chang get stabbed repeatedly in the shower. And finally, I have...
Who are these people?
Didn't you read the books?
No.
Oh, they're really good. They're really good. But anyway, I have it on good authority that on the last page of the book, Harry does not turn around to see a crumbling Hogwarts and say, as God is my witness, I'll never go hungry again. So I promise these are things that will not happen in Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows. What? I had a different ending in mind, but I already used the Lemony Snicket joke that I was going to end that bit with in the middle there. I thought it worked better where I used it, but it kind of left me with a flat ending. So there you go. Except we've got more news gone by to cover.
Oh, good.
If you did not get picked on American Idol, or you couldn't get to...
I got picked on The Price is Right.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. But you can get on Don't Forget the Lyrics or all those other musical reality shows. New Delhi, India has one more chance for you. They've got a new TV program called Bathroom Singer. They're looking for people who sound really great singing in the shower or just in bathrooms in general. Contestants will be put in actual, specially built bathrooms with tiles and showers and sinks. I guess... because you get those great acoustics in a bathroom. And I'm very lucky to have this, an audition tape of one contestant. This is Nandi Vajpayee singing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Now, there's no guarantee that when he recorded this, he actually was in a bathroom, but somehow I get the feeling that he was. Raindrops keep falling on my head, and just like the guy who's got to be on his bed... nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head. They keep falling. But there's one thing I know. The blues they send to meet me won't... Oh, God! Feed me. It won't be long till happy... All right. That's enough of that. Anyway...
What was that?
That was Nandi Vajpayee. I guess he was in the bathroom while he was doing that song. Okay. Anywho, in media news...
Can we go to some funny news now?
Hey, you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about seeing on cable television a channel devoted exclusively to classic bowling? It's one of those ESPN spin-off jobbies. And
oh, really? There's a new bowling classic?
I don't know if it's new, but it's there. And all they do, 24/7, is tournaments of classic bowling, which is, by the way, the dictionary definition of an oxymoron. But there's a TV station in Germany that has that idea beat. AOS TV, which is launching later this year, will be a round-the-clock channel devoted to, quote, aging, dying, and death.
Just remember that
According to Ananova TV, Ananova.com, the Death Channel will feature documentaries about graveyards, televised obituaries, and tips on picking retirement homes. Now, the channel is a collaboration between Germany's Funeral Association and producer Wolf Schneider, who says, quote, "More than 800,000 people died in Germany last year. Multiply that by four, and you have an estimate of the number of relatives affected. They will be our target audience," unquote. Schneider also says, quote, "It may come as a surprise, but older people really enjoy visiting cemeteries, not to mourn, but for peace and quiet," unquote. Now, I don't know, I'm 43. Even if I were 83, I'm not sure I would want to spend my day watching such depressing television.
Is John Edward going to be on it?
Well, that's if everybody comes to life from the dead.
No, he just talks to them. They don't actually come to life.
Well, he would be the talk show on that channel. You're right. That's very good. Still, EOS TV has to be better than Germany's first attempt at a death channel. Remember, it was the Death Camp channel? Problem was, it was an all-Jewish audience, and after 6 years, they had no viewership. But, you know...
Oh, my God, David. Let's go into that next.
Speaking of things across the pond, big change coming to the English courts. Reversing a tradition of more than 300 years, lawyers and judges of civil cases will no longer wear long curly wigs and colorful gowns. From now on, wigs and gowns will be used only in criminal cases and at Rupert Everett's house. And at Rupert Everett's house. Yes, Jeff?
Well, I no longer have the desire to be an English lawyer now.
In sports news, Michael Vick. Do that noise you were doing before.
Oy.
Michael Vick, quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, has been indicted on conspiracy charges. He allegedly helped to breed and train pit bulls for deathmatch dog fights. He would even help kill dogs that didn't have enough fighting spirit. He would kill them by hanging, shooting, drowning, and electrocution. Nice, huh?
He's such a good role model, isn't he?
Vic admits to having a kennel on his property, but says he had no part in the fighting or the killing. And ultimately, unfortunately, fans are having a hard time believing him. Of course, it didn't help that this year, whenever Vic took the field, he specifically requested that the loudspeaker play, "Who let the dogs die? Ooh, 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 ooh. Who let the dogs fight? Ooh, ooh." Just a little teasing there. Make the bad
next.
Sad news. From the cartoon world, Doug Marlette, the creator of Kudzu and also a political cartoonist, was killed in a car crash on July 10th. He was 57 years old. Now, I can't say I was a huge or devoted fan of Marlette's work, but looking over some of his strips on the net, I think I underestimated him. His stuff has a cuteness factor, but it's not so tame and Ziggy-like, like I thought. Maybe it's because so many of his panels featured a preacher that I used to go, oh, ho-hum. But Marlette was a lot more on the ball than I gave him credit for. After all, he named his comic strip Kudzu after a viney weed that quickly chokes out every other plant in its vicinity. And as Marlette himself described it, quote, "Kudzu is a weed that could overtake slow-moving children." Oh, well. If only Marlette's car had moved a little slower down that Mississippi road. He will be missed. I'm not sure I can say the same for Tammy Faye Messner.
Oh, but we liked her when she was dying.
Well, the former Tammy Faye Baker yesterday joined the great PTL club in the sky. Now, Tammy Faye died at the same age as her weight, 65 years, 65 pounds. Is anybody who saw her on that Larry King show 2 months ago? She was...
No, she was just on it the other day.
Oh, was that... No, I thought it was taped a couple of...
No.
Oh, my God. That was that recent?
That was, she taped it a couple of days before she passed away.
Did you see her?
Mm-hmm.
That was like, oof.
That was horrible.
She was emaciated.
But you also got to love her when she, remember when she did the Tammy Faye and the Jim J. Bullock
show? I don't remember that show. I read about it in the obituaries, but good for her. You know, she died, by the way, of cancer. It had moved from her colon to her lungs. And it took about 10 years to do that. And I will say this for her.
Who knew there were bad neighborhoods in the body?
Well, you would think of the colon, the rectum, that area. You don't want to go in after dark. But I'll say this. Tammy Messner spent the last 20 years trying to undo the damage of the first 20 years when she and Jim Baker defrauded gullible Christians out of millions of dollars. Now, Tammy will do her time in hell for some of those lies and all of that greed. But after the whole Heritage thing fell apart...
Well, you know what's going to happen in hell. Sorry.
Well, tell me what.
Her mascara may run.
True. But as I say, let's give her credit. After the Heritage thing and all of that, and she left Jim, she became a vocal advocate for AIDS victims back when straight people were afraid to be breathed on by gay people. And, you know, Tammy appeared on a reality show with Ron Jeremy and came off being cooler than he was. Now, that's something. Tammy Faye was something. Well, mostly she was something else. And now God will have to sort out the messy details. Let's just hope she doesn't bang her head against the pearly gates, or St. Peter will have to spend hours cleaning Maybelline off the hinges. Let's finish the news gone by with something happy.
Maybe it's something good.
Yeah, actually, it kind of is.
Okay.
Mazel tov, or however they say that in Chinese, to Mr. Bao Xishun, a 56 Mongolian herds, or whatever they speak, Mongoloid, whatever the language
they
is.
They speak Chinese in China.
Yeah. Mongolia? Is that China?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know these things. You've been to China. I have not. I haven't even been to a Chinese restaurant in a long time, so... Mazel tov, or mazel tov, to Bao Xishun, a 56-year-old Mongolian herdsman who just got married for the first time. Bao is the tallest man in the world. He's 7'9", and he married a woman almost 20 years younger and more than 20 inches shorter. So after the marriage ceremony, Bao took his new wife to a nice hotel, carried her across the threshold, lifted her in his arms, and stuffed her in the basket for a 2-point layup. And that's the news gone by.
Oh, I thought we were going a completely different
way. I know you were.
Way.
Yeah, no, I went clean on
I
that
I thought
one.
Put a beer on her head and said, shake it.
That's good, too. All right, you can vote for your favorite version of that joke by writing to davesgoneby@aol.com. We want to see your comments, your opinions, and your deathly hallows. Send them to davesgoneby, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. That's Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062.
Can they call you at home?
No. We reserve the right. They can call you at home because you just gave out your phone number before.
They can call me at my office. It's not my home.
That's true. You're right. We reserve the right to read your letters on the air, name withheld upon request. I love hearing from you. So please send letters,
he
emails.
Does.
I do.
He calls me up because, oh, I heard from another listener today. And it's so touching, Dave, every time you do that.
Well, you know, I need the feedback. I love
every time
knowing
a listener
people are listening.
Every time a listener writes, an angel gets his wings, right?
Oh, that's so... Tammy Faye Messner just got her wings if somebody sent me an email. So you can do that, folks. You can make that happen.
You can send Tammy Faye to hell or heaven. It's up to you.
Yeah, or Doug Marlette. Definitely send him to heaven. You know, and quickly, because he deserves it. Anyway, send me postcards, packages.
Because God knows going coach is terrible.
As you well know. Send me gifts, but please, no steam pipes. I'm doing as best as I can. Back after this.
And that was news. If that was news, that was very, very, very special news.
Moby Dick. Ulysses, War and Peace, the Bible. Big freaking deal. If you want to read a real book, a funny book, try Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, a collection of comedies by Dave Lefkowitz, me, the host of Dave's Gone By. Each play is stage-tested and relatively safe for public consumption. Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, available from Holvo Books on the Dave's Gone By website. It's the great American something.
I must say, this is Fivish Finkel. My lieber Freund, the Tag sind vorbei. And this is a wonderful, wonderful radio program wie Evetzachal Git Amazirin, and this is Days Gone By. And I wish my friends, every one of them, would listen to this wonderful radio show called Days Gone By, and you will love it, as well as I love it and all the listeners.
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider.
Let's try and wrap this up before midnight.
Your everything theater guide.
We got a present to wrap, don't we, Dave?
Sorry about that. And see, I turned Jeff's mic off just in case he was talking during the promo, and then I forgot to turn mine off to tell him that we want to wrap this up so we have a little time at the end of the show to do our usual banter. But we got to do some Broadway stuff.
By the way, I just want to tell you that I think Fiverr Schwinkel has excellent, excellent taste.
Oh, he was such a sweetie, such a wonderful guy, and I'm so glad he seemed to have a wonderful time talking
to
the rabbi.
But you didn't talk to him, the rabbi talked.
Well, yeah, but I was there in the room.
Oh, you were there?
Yeah, I was, you know, serving kosher
hot dogs,
appetizers, things like that. Crudité.
Were you answering to a higher source?
A higher authority. We were Hebrew International at that time. Anyway, let's get to Inside Broadway, some big, big theater news, kind of right smack in the middle of the summer when supposedly nothing's really happening.
Something happened on Broadway?
Well, things, announcements of things that are going to happen on Broadway. For example, guess what's coming to Broadway, Jeff?
A good show?
In fall 2008, about a year from now.
Give me a hint.
The hint was, guess what's coming to Broadway, Jeff?
Oh, someone who's coming to dinner?
Yeah. They're actually turning that into a play. Todd Kreidler is adapting William Rose's 1967 screenplay for Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. That was the one that starred Sidney Poitier and Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn.
Are they going to be in the show?
No, only on the EOS Death Channel in Germany, perhaps.
Very good.
Thank you, but not here. I don't know who they don't know who they're casting yet, but they do know that Kenny Leon, who directed Radio Golf, is going to be directing Guess Who's Coming to Dinner next year. You know the plot. What's the plot?
Someone brings a black man to dinner.
Yes, to meet her parents, a young girl. And they're supposedly liberal, wealthy, nice white couple, but she may be pushing the envelope just a little by dating whom she wants to date, especially when this play was written. But, you know, even now to some extent. So that's what's coming to Broadway, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Now,
what else is in the big news?
Hey, what's a Hemingway?
That's an air fence, isn't it?
That's right, Jeff. And Ernest Hemingway's play, The Fifth Column, is going to be coming to Off-Broadway's Mint Theater in February. It's not an adaptation
Minty
of a book.
Fresh.
He wrote a play. Huh? Sorry?
Oh, really? I said Minty Fresh.
Minty Fresh to the Mint Theater.
The list.
Which has,
theater.
You know, the Mint Theater does these revivals of plays from the 20s, 30s, the teens. And it's not a huge budgeted theater company, but they do pretty strong, good work almost every time. Now, The Fifth Column was written in 1937 when Ernest Hemingway was in Madrid covering the Spanish Civil War. And while he was writing it, they were shelling his hotel.
Weren't they running with the bulls and stuff?
Well, he did that too, but I guess while he was writing the play, he was in the middle of a war zone. And he wrote the story of a spy living in that hotel in the middle of a war zone. Now, the play almost made it to Broadway back in 1940.
But then it bombs.
No, actually, forgive me. It did make it to Broadway, sort of. They put it in the hands of a guy who adapted it. And Hemingway was virulently against the adaptation, and it kind of flopped. So this is the first time that the original play that Hemingway wrote, the way he wrote it, is going to be staged. And it's going to be off-Broadway at the Mint Theater in February.
Where is the Mint Theater, Dave?
It's on West 43rd Street, right off 8th Avenue.
Oh, very
convenient
nice.
Yes. Place to see a show, and a comfortable little theater. Now, also another...
Also, it's probably a good deal at the Mint Theater.
Well, compared to Broadway prices, yeah. Absolutely. And as I said, I recommend the theater company. Now, there's another Broadway announcement, ladies and gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
Now, this one came as a surprise, even though they were talking about it for years and years and years. It's a show that went to Off-Broadway, and now, suddenly, again, Broadway. What is it, Jeff?
Is it the fact that Harry Hamlin and Lisa Rinna are extending their stay in Chicago?
No. But congratulations on that to both. Extending their stay a week or two?
Maybe a couple months.
No, this is a show that 10 years ago they were talking about for Broadway. And every year it would be on the calendars and the schedules, and it would fall off. And back on the next season, and it's not going to happen. Finally, it ended up playing Broadway back in, off-Broadway in 2005. Got some very good reviews. People liked it, but it opened, it closed, and we thought we'd never hear it about it again. But believe it or not,
I'm excited. I wonder what it is.
Lone Star Love is Broadway bound again. Booked by John L. Haber and Robert Horn, with a score by Jack Herrick of the Red Clay Ramblers. You know who's going to star?
No.
Randy Quaid is going to be in it. And Dee Hoagie and Robert Cuccioli, who everybody remembers from Jekyll and Hyde,
yes,
the musical. It's going to open at the Belasco Theater on December 3rd.
I love, that's my favorite theater.
With Randy Skinner directing. And, you know, the story of it is they took something of the Merry Wives of Windsor, but adapted it to the American Wild West. It's all about Falstaff, who's charming all these ranchers' wives. Supposed to be very, very fun. Unfortunately, I missed it when it's off Broadway. But I and you are going to get a chance to see it
in the Belasco
soon,
Theater.
Soon, by December, yeah. Now, there is a show that's already started previews on Broadway this past week.
Uh-oh, what was it?
Zoop. Zoop. I'm doing all these hand motions, like my hand is sliding off my arm.
Palm's doing to Gypsy.
Well, no, that's off Broadway, sort of. City Center. No, Grease. Grease started previews on, it starts this week. Forgive me.
Oh, well, that's why I didn't get the hand motion.
It wasn't last week. It will start on Tuesday.
Besides the fact they were really, really bad.
Yeah. Well, how do you mind Grease?
You can,
oh, your hair. Yeah, the hair, you're right. Should have done that. Like, this, that's a good radio thing right there. But anyway, it's going to...
Well, between the two of us, we don't have any.
Well, we have on the sides of our heads, and you know, as far as pubic...
We have
right.
Crown hair.
Brooks Atkinson Theater is where Grease starts previews 2 days from now. It opens August 19th. Kathleen Marshall, who directed the Pajama Game revival, she's directing Grease, and it stars those two people from the reality show. You said the reality show wasn't good. It was,
Who were their names?
That's right. People still don't know. Max Crum is playing Danny.
Ooh, I love Max.
And Laura Osnes.
She's my
is
favorite.
Sandy. Exactly. And they were from that TV show, Grease, You're the One That I Want. Well, you know, Grease is very, very, very far from my favorite show. But at least it does have a character named Duty, which makes me rather happy. And finally, there's a show that's leaving Broadway at the end of next weekend. It's not clearing out early. This is, in fact, it was extended.
But it's making room for one of my favorite things.
Well, wait. It's at Studio 54.
Yes.
Now, the show that is leaving is 110 in the Shade. So you all have one more week to catch Audra McDonald being the wonderful Audra that she is, along with John Cullum, in this really sweet, lovely show about flawed people that we like. But what are they making room for at Studio 54?
They're making room for the Ritz.
Oh, that's right. The Terrence McNally play.
I can't wait for that one.
That should be... Should be a very, very
it
fun
is
show.
Hilarious. The show is the best.
So, well, hopefully the production will bear that. I mean, it's been, what, 30 years since people have seen it, so we'll see if it holds up this coming season.
And who are the original cast members of the Ritz?
Was Jerry Stiller in it?
Yes.
James Coco?
No.
Oh, no. Oh.
He was replacement cast, though.
Who was in the original?
Jack Weston, one of my favorite people in the world.
Jack Weston. And anybody else you remember? Was
Rita Moreno?
Yeah. So, again, the Ritz coming to Broadway.
With Rosie Perez,
in a couple
right?
of weeks. Yeah, I believe. I forget who the other people are. But
Kevin Chamberlain.
Oh, I like him.
And I don't know who's playing the Jerry Stiller part.
We have to wrap this up pretty quick, but I want to take a minute or two just to kind of recommend a show that's at the Midtown International Fringe Festival for the next week or two.
What show would that be, Dave?
It's a show called Outroverted. It's playing at the Jewel Box Theater. That's on West 36th Street. There's all those Midtown.
Sounds like a lovely theater.
And, well, no, it's a tiny little theater, but comfortable and air-conditioned. So you are in reasonable comfort while you're watching this show. And what it is, it's an evening of monologues, character monologues, and some of them are quite good. There's one about a woman, or she plays several different women who have issues with the way women are supposed to be viewed in society. Like, they want to be treated like intelligent people, but they're also bombarded by things that make them feel like they should look like a certain way. So there's plastic surgery, and that's very cleverly done. There's a very interesting and intense and fun monologue about a true story of this guy who wanted to be a big rock and roller, didn't quite work out, so he went into the gung-ho world of Wall Street and was successful there. And he tells all about that. My favorite piece of the night, and it's the one that ends the show, is by a guy named Brian Bielowski. Do not miss this. He does a show called Out of Character. It's this monologue of this guy who works in a tech support office for this computer company, and he's trying to answer the phone calls, help with tech support. At the same time, he's playing this computer game and massing all these people for an attack on elves, and he's on the phone with his friends and with colleagues who are trying to do this game, and he's going back and forth. I'm not explaining it too well, but it is brilliantly funny, and if you get a chance, go on the on YouTube, because they have clips of his show. It's called Gamer. That's the full-length version of the piece that he'll be doing at the New York International Fringe Festival in August. So just look for the word gamer, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's really, really brilliant. But if you want to see all those monologues, catch Outroverted at the Midtown International Fringe Festival right now. And that's off-Broadway, but we cover all of that in this segment, Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway, thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider.
Let's start at the very beginning.
Whether you're at the very beginning, the middle, or the end of the Broadway season, everything you need to know about Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret, opera, and dance is in the pages of Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine, available 21 times a year or just in the monthly edition. Either way, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off. So subscribe now to Performing Arts Insider and find out all the information at PerformingArtsInsider.com.
I'll make it easier for you.
What's black and white and red all over? Photocopies made at Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of Broadway. Any job that you have, including black and white copies, and they've got a brand new color copier, great quality, good prices, wonderful family that has owned Hewlett Minuteman Press since the 1970s. So check them out, 516-569-5577, Hewlett Minuteman Press. They're the kings.
Oh my goodness. I must say, this is Five-ish Finkel, who is indeed honored to be interviewed. My entire realm has succeeded to the best show of the radio. And this is David. David and seine Freund. And he wird sich kit amüsieren bei ihm.
Oh, no one could talk like that. No one else could that be but the wonderful Five-ish Finkel. Thank you so much to Five-ish for being on the Dave's Gone By show, and thanks to Rabbi Saul Solomon for doing such a lovely job with the interviews. I want to thank also Beck Lee, the press person, for setting all that up, and of course, every week, I want to thank my beloved and delightful and wonderful wife, Joyce. Now, let's also thank our sponsors.
Who's still not pregnant.
No, she is not. We joked about that last week. Seriously. And then they had a heart attack. But no, she's perfectly non...
pregos.
Sorry?
She's non-pregos.
And you know, neither am I. So that's kind of a... I was shocked, because I was sure.
Did you pee on that strip right?
What, sorry?
Didn't you pee on that strip right?
My aim was off, so there you go. Anyway, why don't you do some of the sponsorship things?
Well, we'd like to thank MortgagesRock.com.
Why would we like to thank them?
Because they gave us money to thank them.
Yeah, that pretty much. That'd be good. And because it's a great place to learn how to get mortgages and how to give other people mortgages while earning commission. MortgagesRock.com. Thank you also to Performing Arts Insider.
The Bible of Broadway?
It sure is, and has been for 64 years. How can people find out more about Performing Arts Insider, Jeff?
They go into Times Square and hope you call them.
There's an easier way. You can just go to the Internet. PerformingArtsInsider.com. And remember...
And for everything, you can go to daysgoneby.org.
That's right. That's right. All the information is there at that website, especially the fact that it's a special on Performing Arts Insider for Dave's Gone By listeners. It's less than $200 a year. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but normally...
It's a lot of information, though.
Yeah, and it's $275 is the regular price, so you're saving a whole... bunch of money on...
And you know where else you could save a whole bunch of money?
What?
Hewlett Minuteman Press.
Well, 10%. 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners.
If you spend $10,000 there, that will save you $1,000.
Yes. Yes.
That's a whole lot of money.
If you spend a million, well, you wouldn't have to spend a million because you only spend
900,000.
So, see, the more you spend, the more you save at Hewlett Minuteman Press, which is located
next to Lohmann's Shoe Store across from the Lohmann's.
It sure is.
And that's the best place to be because it's at Lohmann's.
So, have we... Oh, and I forgot the other sponsor.
Oh, it doesn't matter. No one's going to call for Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
Prove Jeff wrong. Give your phone number, and let's see if people call Fancy Schmancy Balloons.
You can call me at my office, but you better order something. It's 516-797-3229.
One more time.
516-797-3229.
For all your party decorating needs.
And you can call Dave at his home.
No.
At area code...
no, 631-555.
Like I'm going to say it over the air.
You know, I'm don't. You got to be nice now because I'm going to give you also the opportunity up through the middle of August to do your little plug. What are you going to be on?
Oh, that's right.
See, don't I'm being forget, nice now.
That's so. Right. Don't forget to watch me on The Price is Right a week from Friday. Two weeks from Friday.
This is
August 10th. My TV show will be rerun.
CBS TV, 11 in the morning on August 10th. Jeff Goodman. In The Price is Right, it was taped a few months ago.
It was taped in December, it aired in January, and it was so good, I'm in repeats.
That's, and you will get to see Jeff quite literally give Bob Barker the shirt off his back. Well, a couple of reminders, always, you can watch for Jeff and myself and Charlie Gross on YouTube, because episodes of Two on the Isle, that's the Manhattan Cable TV show that Jeff and Charlie do about theater. Sometimes I'm a guest on there, and you can see the older versions on YouTube. It's called Two on the Isle.
And it's so good.
It is good. It's like Siskel and Ebert about the theater. Now, you can also listen anytime, 24/7, for free, to a bunch of vintage Dave's Gone By shows on theaterpod.com. That's the theater with an E-R, pod.com. There's 25...
pod.com.
Yeah.
.com.
And you, again, it's totally free. Anytime you want, you can listen. You can download them as podcasts or listen to them right on your computer. Now that
we're so much better as a podcast. You know that?
Yeah, on the radio it's there, but on podcasts we're amazing. I guess the competition is less. But I also hope
No,
that,
we're just so much more.
Yeah, we're still rooting for Life365.com. to pull through and to make it through all this nonsense with copyright fees and so on.
What has happened in the Congress? They spent an overnight thing on that, didn't they?
Well, they said there's going to be, I think, a 30 to a 90-day relief period where they're not going to decide anything, so everything's kind of in the status quo, although dozens of stations have already dropped off Live 365 in fear of what was going to happen this week, so including DFSX Radio, which carried Dave's Gone By for the past 2.5 years. So I don't think DFSX is coming back, but maybe Live 365 and Shoutcast and all those places will stick around and things will be okay. But please, everybody, write your congressman, find out more about this issue. Now, a couple of other things I need to tell you. I will be on WGBB tomorrow night, Monday night.
On a Monday? What are you doing on a Monday?
Well, I'm subbing for one of the DJs here. He actually had a sad thing happen in his family. Nothing directly close.
So it's always on a Sunday, a Sunday, a Sunday.
Well, I'm always
on a Monday, too.
Just this Monday. I'll be here, and I will be on the air from 9 to 10 at night and also 11 to midnight tomorrow. So 2 hours of just me doing more of a DJ
and
talking
kind of
thing.
What's in the Dave sandwich? What's in from 10 to 11?
I don't even... Oh, 10 to 11 is the Greek show. Is Manos Kalanos Greek program.
So it's like Dave's gyro sandwich hour.
It's sort of a Greek Oreo, greasy behind Oreo thing. I don't even know what that means. Anyway,
Dave,
tomorrow night...
Dave, talking about greasy behind?
Not even go... Well, I did go there, so I guess I should be ready to go there. But I'm not, because we have to leave. We will be back next Sunday, July 29th, 2007... with the 230...
I'm not going to be here.
Oh, that's right. You're going to be in California.
I'll be in California.
So any burglars who want to check out Jeff's house, they'll be gone.
Yeah, come to Fancy Schmancy Balloons. Take some helium.
That's right. He doesn't need those old centerpieces. Next week, the 232nd episode of Dave's Gone By featuring Louise Sacco, who is the curator and co-founder of the Museum of Bad art.
Oh, I want to talk to her.
She's great. It's a wonderful thing. She's got a great website. Google it if you want to see some of the collection of the Museum of Bad Art.
Can I Google it if I want?
You can Google. So, that's all next week, July 29th. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz.
And Jeff Goodman.
Wishing you good night, gesund and mazel from your head to your nozzle.
And gone by.
Oh, it's never too late to wake up early. Never too late to get a jump on the day. Things that seemed impossibly hopeless, now you can do. Dreams can come true. It's better to try and rev your engine than sit around and vegetate. Easy schmeezy, we all go through it. Make up your mind, you can do it. 'Cause baby, it's never too late. It's never too late for second chances. Never too late for starting over again. Though in the past you might have stumbled, we all make mistakes. Them's the breaks. It's never too late to say you're sorry. Broken hearts still palpitate. Move and groove while your ticker's still ticking. Life is a dance, so keep on kicking. 'Cause baby, it's never too late.